And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Greg Kozera joining us, as I said a moment ago in our last hour. He is the Director of Marketing for Shale Crescent USA. Greg, welcome back to Rush to Reason.
Hey, always good to be with you guys out there. It's always a fun show.
Well, we appreciate you joining us very much. We saw here recently where, you know, Joe Biden claims that he would not ban fracking, but then he is going to ban fracking. And, you know, I can't tell whether or not he's going to or not going to. My gut feeling is if he was elected president, he would, which would not be good for us as a country, because one of the main ways right now that we're really doing well economically is in the natural resource area.
You know, you're absolutely right, John. And I think what even the major media doesn't grasp, I always hear about oil and gas jobs, and that's absolutely true. But what they neglect to mention, it's manufacturing jobs, it's petrochemical jobs,
right.
It's the cost of our gasoline, and even the products. If we don't manufacture here, then it's coming from China, and it's going to probably cost us more money.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point. It's the ancillary things and or the energy being delivered to those things that are being manufactured, the jobs that are already here. I'm a business owner, Greg. I know for a fact that if my costs go up at some point, those costs have to get passed back down to the customer or I can't stay in business. So across the board, every company out there will do the same thing I'm doing. To your point, cheap energy in the United States of America is a big boom for manufacturing.
It really is, and it's the reason, you know, it's also something that, you know, we always hear about, we're going to create these 18 million green jobs. Well, the reality is, not only is that not going to happen, and I'm non-profit, non-government, I'm in the oil and gas industry, we're for bringing jobs back to the United States.
Yes.
And our region, West
yes.
Virginia, Pennsylvania, so we're about jobs, but it's the feedstock and the ability for us to manufacture over here more economically than China. We got advanced manufacturing, and we've got cheap, abundant energy. They got to get their energy from Iran or Russia or someone like that. So when you put those pieces together, we're making the green jobs we see now are making the windmills and the solar panels. And if we're non-competitive, if we have to pay, if we got to go to OPEC, let's say, for our energy sources and our feedstock, guess where those green jobs are going? They're going to China as fast as you can think.
Yep.
Think about it. And we'll be darn lucky to keep the manufacturing jobs we have now. So we're talking about losing jobs, and forget green jobs. Those aren't going to happen.
Hey, Greg, how come the oil and gas industry isn't out there touting how cheap it is for its product? And what I mean is this. When you look at the amount of money in subsidies it takes to prop up green energy, especially when you're talking ethanol, when you're talking solar and wind, it's enormous for the amount of energy that you produce. Okay, you're producing very little energy for enormous amounts of tax subsidies versus what you have with oil and gas. How come we don't hear enough about that from the oil and gas industry?
I think there's two problems. One is they're really economically strained right now. I mean, their product prices are so low. So, you know, I guess that takes money. But maybe the other thing that really puts them in a huge disadvantage is if they say it about themselves, nobody believes it.
Right.
Now, as a manufacturer, you as a small business owner, me as a guy that's bringing jobs back here, I don't have a dog in the race. I mean, I don't get any money from oil and gas. But I'm worried about jobs. So I think the messenger isn't, it's really easy for someone to shoot that messenger. Where, let's say if you had a major doctor in Denver and said, hey, we got to have the oil and gas business because my PPE, the PPE of my nurses, depend on it. And we don't want to go back to depending on China for our PPE. If those folks came out and said, hey, here's what it's about. But, you know, there's another side of this that, really, we just, at Shale Crescent, we were doing some work this year, and it really never occurred to us. But think about this, folks. Can you imagine now, this is the first time that I can remember in my memory where if you're green, if you really care about the planet, what you should want is manufacturing back in the U.S., and
yep.
Here's why.
That's right.
We have let's just take Denver. You guys use a lot of camping equipment and
yep.
Skis
yep.
and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. We are one of those outdoor capitals of the world. So, Greg, you name it, it's here. And to your point, the products that go along with that are as well.
Right. So can you imagine right today? I would be like, well, I've been out in Denver. I haven't wolfed at all, and we have a time trip, so we ski. But think about how many of those products are coming from China right now. Now, that's a carbon footprint. A, they got to get their energy from, let's say, Iran, carbon footprint. They're going to make it under Chinese environmental law, huge carbon footprint. And they're going to ship it across the pond, carbon footprint, to the West Coast.
Right.
And then they're going to truck it or rail it to you in Denver. What if you use Colorado oil and gas, or at least American oil and gas, for your feedstock, for your energy? And now when you make that product in Colorado and sell it in Colorado, what have you done to the carbon footprint?
Yep.
The best thing for the planet is
right.
to be making stuff close to the market. And
right.
for those products, you're the market. And look at all the jobs you create.
That's right. And here in Colorado, Greg, we have the land, the ability, you know, the area around us, I should say, to have the ability to do exactly what you just said. We just need people forward thinking enough in government, because let's face it, that's where a lot of this stuff comes from, in city government, to be able to do the zoning correctly and entice people to come and so on. There's all sorts of ways to make that happen. By the way, without doing a ton of subsidies, there are ways to actually make that work to where you can actually encourage individual companies to come here in the ways that you're even talking about right now. And I'll be honest with you, Greg, right now in Colorado, we are not doing what you're talking about. We're more worried about making a windmill or building a solar panel as opposed to doing what you're talking about.
And you know what's crazy about that is those people promoting the windmills over the manufacturing jobs, they're creating the very catastrophe they're trying to avoid.
That's right.
They're not environmentalists.
I'll
challenge them. I'll go head-to-head with them, and we'll win based on the numbers. So here's the rest of the story. Can you imagine? One of the reasons that you can also do that is you can do it cheaper than China. The Boston Consulting Group did a study in 2018, and what they looked at is our labor costs and China's now are on a par. They need more workers and pay them less. We need less workers, but we have advanced manufacturing. So that cost goes away. We have cheap energy. We win on that score.
Yeah.
And now someone that makes it in Colorado and sells it in Colorado has a huge
yep.
transportation advantage. So you can actually manufacture in Colorado and beat the Chinese at their own game.
Hey, we're talking to Greg Cozera, the director of marketing for Shale Crescent USA. Hey, Greg, Biden the other night was talking about these big subsidies that are going to oil and gas, and I think you and I both know they are very different type of subsidies than the flat-out money that's simply being thrown at green energy. Could you explain these subsidies,
please?
I'm
glad you just said that, Andy. Thank you. Yes, please, Greg, do so, because they're not subsidies.
No, they aren't.
They're really not. I mean, if you're buying a solar panel, there's subsidies.
That's a subsidy. So for everybody listening, this is for folks that can go out to the water cooler and explain this. A subsidy is where you're getting a tax credit for something that you basically didn't do anything to earn other than actually using or developing or whatever product the government is giving you an incentive to do. Or, in the case of a farmer, they give you money for not planting a crop. That is, in fact, a subsidy, Greg. Explain what happens on the oil and gas side, though. It's not the same.
On the oil and gas side, you're getting tax incentives and encouragement to do something, which would be, you know, maybe you get your, in some cases, we see sales tax, but a lot of the stuff, it's just tax incentive. And what those things do actually create more economic activity.
Right.
They encourage more drilling and more jobs.
Yeah, and what I'm getting at too, Greg, is the reality is there's a big difference between, this is what the average person out there doesn't understand. There's a huge difference between a tax credit or a subsidy, call it whatever you want to. There's a difference between that and depreciation. Depreciation and working the tax code to your advantage are not one and the same when it comes to credits and subsidies. They're not one and the same. And the majority of oil companies, where they get the majority of their quote-unquote tax discounts, if that's what folks want to call them, is through depreciation and things along those lines. And I don't want to get into all the gory details of what that means for a business and how that works, but the reality is depreciation and a tax credit or a subsidy are not one and the same.
Well, and the tax credit also assumes that you owe taxes. Well, right now, the oil and gas industry, there's a whole bunch of companies that aren't making any money.
Well
so
said.
So you really, what good's a tax credit
right.
If you're in the negative side?
Well, and I want to say, I want to add one more thing to what you guys are saying, you and Andy said earlier, too, and I want to answer a question that I think came to both of you. And the reality is this, and a lot of folks don't get this and don't understand this. There's a huge difference between, and I'm just going to use Xcel Energy because it's big here in Colorado. I know that they're a Midwest company, and they're based out of the upper Midwest and so on. But let's face it, Xcel Energy, by the way, which is not an oil company, they are a power company. And they understand everything we just talked about when it comes to credits and incentives and things along those lines. And they are pushing wind, solar, and otherwise. In fact, they will actually publicize how much of that they actually do. The fact of the matter is, Greg, they're part of the problem that we have in everything we're talking about because of those incentives that we're mentioning. They are not an oil company, though. They are an energy, quote-unquote, delivery company. That is not one and the same.
Oh, totally different. Because they go out of business if the oil and gas industry is destroyed, as Mr. Biden had promised.
Yeah, and
I mean, because you can't even, here's the rest of the story, you can't even make windmills, solar panels,
right,
electric cars. All those are fracking products. Those actually come from hydraulic fracturing, cell phone cases, medical equipment.
Right.
You need those molecules, and that's where a lot of people forget that oil and gas aren't just transportation fuels.
No.
They're feedstock. That's where
right,
the real value of those fuel, those materials are. And windmills, solar panels are great. There's a place for those things. But they only make one thing, and that's electricity. And they only make that when the sun is shining and the wind is blowing.
So that's right.
Without oil and gas, windmills and solar panels and electric cars cease to exist.
Yeah, they don't exist.
You can't have it both
ways. That's right. Well said. Greg, always enjoy having you. Appreciate it very much. Director of Marketing for Shale Crescent USA. You can find him at shalecrescentusa.com. Greg, thank you very much, sir.
Hey, appreciate all you guys do out there. And, hey, hang in there.
We'll do it. We'll do it, sir. Thanks, Greg. We appreciate it very much. Let's do this. Ascent Health Center is next. Dr. Julie Marchio, she'll be with us tomorrow here on our Health and Wellness Wednesdays. In the meantime, though, if you need anything when it comes to losing weight, feeling better, knowing what supplements to take, any of that at all, talk to Dr. Julie today. 303-343-8800 or AscentHealthCenter.com.
Changes in your routine shouldn't stop you from achieving your health goals. John Rush recommends Dr. Julie Marchiol of Ascent Health Center as your personal weight loss guide, giving you the confidence that you need to see real results. Dr. Julie wants to provide, enable, and assist you in developing your highest quality of life. As she coaches you through the HCG diet program, you will start to see significant weight loss without starving yourself. HCG is a hormone that uses non-essential fat for energy. The homeopathic-based HCG diet teaches your body to burn excess fat first, leaving behind only the fat that your body really needs. Call Ascent Health Center in Lowry or Inglewood now. Schedule a free consultation with Dr. Julie to check your BMI and resting calorie burn. Call 303-343-8800 or visit rushtoreason.com to find Dr. Julie now. Get the support you need to achieve the goal that you've been dreaming about.
John Rush believes there's no such thing as normal. You always need to stay focused on the future, and this current environment is no different. The only difference now is that you have a rare opportunity to beat your competition as they stay stuck in survival mode. Not one of John's small business clients shut down during the quarantine. And believe it or not, none of them has seen a drop in overall revenue compared to last year. Hire John and stay focused on the future. RushToReason.com.
Election Day is right around the corner. The radical socialist activists who have taken over the Democrat Party are keeping the news cycle busy with narratives to influence the election outcomes. Kim Munson here. Wednesday, Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management shares his perspective on these most recent narratives. District Attorney candidates Tim McCormick, Matt Durkin, and John Kellner update us on the safety of our communities. And candidate Tony Caputo shares why he is the compassionate choice for Colorado House District 32. That's Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., and 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, Charlie, Ken from Bertha joining us now. Ken, how are you, sir?
Hey, guys, doing really good.
Thank you.
You know, you got me thinking when you were talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like all of a sudden people care what she says. You know, one time they have a quote that she said that a president's term doesn't end after 3 years. Well, like, But, you know, I bet she also said she believed in Santa Claus when she was little. So,
yeah.
You know, who really cares what she says? But, you know, the one that got me or has gotten me is, like, every time when somebody dies, like when Michael Jackson died, you see all this junk on Facebook about how they accepted Jesus at the last second.
Right.
Well, I'm here to tell people, if they're walking around and they see a red dude with horns and there's fire all around, that's probably not the good place.
Probably not.
That's funny, Ken.
You know, it doesn't... There is no Bible verse that says if you trash Trump, you go to heaven. It says if you love people, you go to heaven, not trash people. So, you know...
Yeah, well,
the only people she loved was the non-Christians, right?
Yeah, the problem that we've got with, you know, and again, I'm with you, Ken. It doesn't really matter what, I mean, I shouldn't say it this way. It does matter what people say before they leave this earth, but the reality is once they're gone, they're gone. Yeah, no, depending upon what legacy they leave, you know, yeah, there may be some things that continue on after them, but the reality is they're done. They're gone. They're history. I mean, Abe Lincoln, you know, when he was shot and passed away, he was no longer effective as a president of the United States. He was gone and done. I'm not trying to minimize what he did prior to that. He did some great things, but the reality is once he's gone, he's gone. That's true for all of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And I'm not trying to minimize, you know, her or her life or anything along those lines. And by the way, there were some things that she did that I think she championed, you know, for the right reasons and for the right causes. But I will also say this. There's a lot of things she did that were for the wrong reasons, and they were the wrong causes.
You know, she might have – I would word a little different. She might have got some stuff that worked out.
Let me give you an example, Ken, and I will give credit where credit's due. Okay. You know, when it comes to women in the workforce and in the job and being discriminated against, which they were, by the way, for many, many, many years, a woman was looked down upon in the workplace. They were only good for secretaries and this, that, and the other. I mean, go watch Mad Men and just watch a series of that, and you'll realize back then how women were treated, and frankly, they were treated the wrong way. And Ruth was a really a good champion in making that in a more level playing field the way it should have been from the get-go, and I, for one, commend her for doing that. That's one of the things she did that was good.
Can I make a comment, though?
Sure, go ahead.
When you do that by trashing the legacy of people, that's not the way to do it.
And I'm not going to disagree with that. But again, you got to go back in time to when she even did that. And you know, at that time, I wasn't really paying attention as much, and I wasn't really even into it. And some of that was even before my time. I don't know what she did. I'd have to go back and read history to see exactly what she did to get some of those things done. And I can't say she trashed anybody to get those things done. I don't know that history. I don't know that part. Later she did. I mean, she didn't treat Trump very well later on, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah, I think the big key. I think the big key is not to trash someone's history or to glamorize it, but simply be honest about it.
Which I just was.
Right. You were honest about her history. You were honest about things that she did, and she did do some good. She did a lot of terrible things.
She did.
And that is my opinion, but you can bring up the history of that. And honestly, I think a lot of the things that she would say about Trump were very dishonest and not factually based. Go ahead, Greg.
Where I was coming from, though, is that, see, she's not supposed to be political. And that was
one of
the things.
Good point.
You know, look at the poor little lady that just got to be in the Supreme Court. They asked her, I was listening. I didn't know if I understood the question. Had she ever solicited anybody for sex? I mean, like, excuse me.
Right.
Where'd that one come from?
Totally unacceptable thing to ask.
But you have to admit, Maisie Hirono is entertaining to listen to. She's nuts.
Well, you know what, Ken? It also goes to show you that not everybody that gets elected to Congress or the Senate is smart. Sorry, they're not.
No, but there are a bunch of them that are evil. I mean, we've really seen something that we just sort of, I think, glanced at before. Oh, I think it's been here. I don't think it's new. And that's what I look back at Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I never saw her... an article about her where she wasn't, in my opinion, I'll do like Andy says, in my opinion, angry. And I think anger
not gonna
has
argue that.
No place.
Agree.
No, I don't think it has any place in love.
No, and to your point, Ken, she also used a lot of the positions that she held in a way that was not, in my opinion, the correct way to handle things. If she wanted to champion some of those things outside of the courts and do that in her personal time and so on, but to use the courts to champion some of those things, yeah, I am total disagreement of that. That's not the job of the court, or any court for that matter.
And I would add to that because of that. So she championed, she really pushed hard what she believed was women's rights to abort kids. Now, okay. So even if you're on that side, then tell me once, find one quote where she didn't trash a woman that was against abortion.
Agree.
See, that's not love.
I agree.
And that's what I'm saying. So if she's seeing that little red dude with horny things, I bet she's pretty hot right now and wishes that she had lived a different, well, no, they, she probably doesn't. Well, she's just probably angry still.
Hard to say. And I have that one I don't have any answers for. I cannot answer that question.
Yeah, I won't comment on her everlasting life where that is, but I will comment on her life here, and it really affected us in a lot of negative ways.
Well, I mean, like, if she's in the hot place, I bet she's blaming Trump.
Hard to say. That one I don't know. That's a good one, Ken. Thanks. I'll leave it at that. I have no. And folks, again, I can't comment on where she's at to this day. I didn't know her heart. I don't know what was inside of her. I really don't know. I don't know what her relationship with the Lord was, if there was any there whatsoever. Folks, I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't know. And I know I won't even try to. It's not my job to do so. Fortunately, I'm not in that position where I have to make those decisions, nor would I want to be.
You wouldn't want to be?
Nope.
You don't want to decide who goes which way?
Nope. I don't want to be that person.
Me either.
I that is, the Lord Almighty can make those decisions. And he, by the way, just as a side note, he's made it pretty clear on how that works. I don't have to explain that here. If you don't understand that, read any of the Gospels and they'll explain it full well. It's real easy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't have to do that for you. It's a very simple thing. It's not complicated.
No.
A child, it's so easy. The Gospel is so easy to understand, even a child can accept it.
Exactly.
That's how it's supposed to be, folks. This is not a complicated equation. But where is Ruth on in that hierarchy of things we just mentioned? I can't answer that. I don't know.
Well, I think Ruth Bader Ginsburg would, by her own statements and admissions, say that she did not align herself with the path that Christ would have laid out. You know, but what did she do personally between her and God in whatever hour? Hey, I don't know.
I don't know.
I won't claim to know.
No, no. Thank you. I will never claim to know. I don't. In fact, it's unknown. I don't know. I can't tell you at some point in time who's going to be in heaven, who's going to be in hell. I think you'll be surprised on both ends. Let's just say it that way.
Yes. I think we will too.
I think you'll get there and you'll say, those of us that are going to heaven will get there and say, oh, I didn't think you'd be here. On the same token, I think you'll say, where's so-and-so?
You know, the funny thing is Matthew 7 says even a lot of people there who in the afterlife are going to be very surprised by their own thing. They're going to say, many will come on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons and do all kinds of great things in your name? And he's going to say, I never
didn't know you. That's right. Yeah. Well said, Andy. Mighty Hand Construction, folks, coming up next. By the way, some folks that really believe in what we're talking about, these are solid Christian guys. The type of individuals, by the way, that you could have inside of your home and not have to worry about the five-finger discount. What do I mean by that? You all know what the five-finger discount is. That just means something got picked up, put in a pocket, and then left without anybody knowing otherwise. And that's the five-finger discount. You don't have to worry about that with Mighty Hand. They're there. They're going to honor you. They're going to honor your property. They're going to honor the things that you have them doing there because that's what they do. That's it. That's inbred literally into each and every one of them that work there. So if you need to know more about Mighty Hand, just go to klzradio.com or call 970-844-9191.
It's time to stop painting over the damage and replace your siding. You'll be costing yourself more money in the long run by painting over wood rot and split boards every few years instead of committing to a full exterior redo with Mighty Hand. Micah and his team offer Diamond Coat siding, which comes with a 30-year, no paint, no fade warranty, so you'll have great looking, durable siding for decades. You've been putting it off because you know it's a big expense, but you're not planning to move anytime soon, and you do want to feel like you're living in a nice place. Use some of that refi money to hire a local business you know will do a good job. As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand Construction can handle any exterior work in Northern Colorado, including roofing, siding, windows, driveways, decks, and more. Ask Micah and his team for an estimate on a full exterior redo at klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, they can help you figure out how to pay for some of those things around the house that Mighty Hand might very well do. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. When you call Kurt, please tell him John Rush sent you.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
Bob, you're next up on the Mike Gallagher Show. How you doing, Bob?
You know, one question I ask the Biden supporters is, who do they think Kamala Harris is going to pick for her vice president when they get Biden out of there?
I mean, listen, I don't even want to think about it. Bob, I've got enough nightmares, okay?
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. We do appreciate it very much. All right, one thing I said we would do this hour is, as the holidays are fast approaching, and literally they are, well, Halloween will be this weekend. It'll be 3 weeks after that that we're into Thanksgiving. And thanks, by the way, November just is one of those months for me personally where, man, it just rolls by. Maybe because we got an election next week, and then you got a couple of weeks thereafter, and then pretty soon you're into the holidays, and then before you know it, it's Christmas, and then we're the first of the year, and that's just how things work.
Oh, yeah, it's jam-packed.
It just smokes through that time of the year. So, as they fast approach, we now have the California Department of Public Health website list of things that you need to do for Thanksgiving. And by the way, why are we mentioning this? Because we are in a pack with Washington, Oregon, and California, because our illustrious governor thinks that we can't do things on our own. We must, in fact, do things according to what the West Coast does.
And can I add something to this?
Sure.
California is also what Biden wants to be nationally.
Oh, well said.
Remember, he wants to legalize 20 million new, it's not 15, guys, it's 20,
it's
million
20.
New illegal voters. He wants to create four more senators for the Democrat Party. He wants to make America a one-party state like California. And when we read through this right now, this is almost like a comedy
routine.
This
is the new America.
Yeah, and it's hilarious what California is requiring of people at Thanksgiving. Go ahead.
Gatherings that include more than three households are prohibited.
Oh, righty then. Now, do they mean extended households, like extended families?
I think it just says three households. So if you've got you, your brother, and your sister, one of the two ain't coming. Because you can't have more than three households. I guess in that case, you have three. Let's say you have two brothers and a sister. One of them's not coming.
John, and we'll get into this more as we go along.
No, a better example.
Okay,
Let's say you've got a brother and a sister. So there is
all
just
right.
The three families.
Right.
But let's say they both have kids. So you've got grandkids now.
Sure.
They ain't coming.
No, grandkids,
that's another household. They ain't coming.
Basically, extended families, forget it.
You ain't coming.
No Thanksgiving
no
this year.
For you.
And John, here's what I want to get to. How do you enforce this?
I don't have any idea.
Do they honestly think cops are going to be kicking in Thanksgiving doors counting people and asking for IDs to see how many households they have there.
Well, and in California, which, by the way, this may work or may not, depending upon the day. It can be chilly in California at times or rainy. All gatherings must be outside.
In NoCal, that could get a little troublesome.
So the old bird's going to be outside. The old turkey's going to be outside.
This is nuts.
Seating must provide at least 6 feet of distance in all directions, front to back, side to side, between the different households. Hey, you're at the kids' table.
You know, and this is presuming everybody has homes that have now suddenly, overnight, this is a miracle,
got
by the
large
way,
enough.
Tripled in size.
Well, no, they went to Enchanted Kitchens first.
They went to Enchanted Kitchens. Not in California, they didn't.
No, they didn't, but...
I mean, remember when Jesus, you know, multiplied out the bread?
Yeah, yeah.
And the fish?
Yeah.
They're thinking that we can suddenly do that with home space.
Gotcha.
We can multiply it out and just spread everybody out just like that, John. Hey, John, you know as well as I do, at the holidays, people are crammed in. And it's a good thing. It's closeness. Go ahead.
Gatherings may occur in outdoor spaces that are covered by umbrellas, canopies, awnings, roofs, and other shade structures, provided that at least 3 sides of the space are open to the outdoors. So you can't have 2 sides closed in. Only 1 can have a closed-in space.
Again, enforcement. The state is they're insane. They're insane. Continue.
Okay, Craig, give me 1 second. Oh, hey, he's just got a quick comment. Doesn't matter. We got time. Here we go. Okay. Craig, go ahead. You're up.
Craig, you can't come to our house.
Yeah,
this Thanksgiving.
You can't come to Thanksgiving, Craig.
Just so you know, in case you were going to ask.
Well, now I'm going to be eating alone, but that's all right. Adam Carolla was on...
I saw this.
Was on Tucker Carlson's show the other night, and they were talking about this policy of not having more than maybe 5 people in a household on Thanksgiving.
Right.
Adam Carolla's solution was, when the authorities knock on the door, you respond, "We're having a Black Lives Matter rally in here."
Probably would work then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I had.
No, okay, Craig. Thanks, I appreciate Craig. It. So there's more to come, by the way. We're not done yet. So no more than 3 different families, okay, from different households.
Right.
Got to have this outside.
Got to spread them out. And
everybody's got to be spread out. That's 6-foot rule.
Every grouping 6 feet apart. So
you better have more than 1 table.
They'll be in pods.
Okay. Shared items. Everybody needs to wash their hands. I mean, that's a given. Okay, that one I'm not going to. Okay, everybody should wash their hands, period, anyways. That's
a given.
Shared items should not be used during the gathering. As much as possible, any food or beverages at outdoor gatherings must be in single-serve disposable containers. So, you know, no longer could you have the, you know, punch bowl or, you know, the water jugs or anything along those lines. Everything needs to be in its own little self-serving, you know, doohickey, cup, whatever. Follow me?
I just picture drones hovering above every family's eating place.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever
watching
seen.
Watching them.
If providing single-serve containers is not possible, food and beverages must be served by a person who washes or sanitizes their hands frequently and wears a face mask. Self-serve items from communal containers should also not be used. So in other words, if you bring that shared dish, so like my sister normally brings, like I love that she does like this green bean casserole thing. It comes in a big dish.
Right.
No. No. No, you can't. That's not allowed. Can't do that.
Off topic, I like green bean casserole.
Oh, I do too.
It's so delicious. Does she do the crunchy onions
on top? Oh, yes.
Top?
So it's to die for.
Yummers. Yes.
So you can't bring that and share that anymore. That's not allowed in California.
I give that to kids on Halloween.
So does everybody have to bring their own bird, by the way, in this particular scenario? Because that's communal too. I mean, how do you serve up the turkey?
No, it's okay because you put a mask on the bird.
Oh, gotcha.
Now you're safe.
Okay, gotcha. By the way, wear a face mask to keep COVID from spreading. When gathering, face covering should be worn, or must be worn, by the way, in accordance with the CDPH guideline on the use of face coverings, unless an exemption is applicable. People at gatherings may remove their face mask coverings briefly to eat or drink as long as they stay at least 6 feet away from everyone outside of their own household and put their face covering back on as soon as they're done with that activity. Face coverings can also be removed to meet urgent medical needs, for example, to use an inhaler, take medication, or a feeling lightheaded, or I guess in case you need the Heimlich.
By the way, don't do the Heimlich on somebody while they're still wearing the mask.
Yeah, that would not be good.
Just letting you know, that's
right
not
right
a
back
good,
inside.
That's not a good idea.
Keep it short. Gatherings should be 2 hours or less.
Oh, okay.
The longer the duration, the risk of transmission increases. Okay, hang out. Time out.
A two-hour Thanksgiving?
Well, furthermore, the longer the duration, the risk of transmission increases. Well, that's only if somebody there is sick. If nobody there has COVID, there's no risk at all for any of this.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Is there a part of this I don't understand? Or
all of this I don't understand.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever read, by the way. Only a dumb lefty would write this.
John, do you remember, what was it, about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, on a Friday, we did dystopian movies, your favorite.
This is one of them.
Hunger Games and all this,
right,
and how they track you, and they've got a million rules for everything you do in your life. This reminds me of those movies.
Somebody, by the way, texted us, said, drone target practice. Just a side note. Anyways, keep it short. The longer the duration, the risk goes up. Rules for singing, chanting, and shouting at outdoor gatherings. Singing, chanting, shouting, and physical exertion specifically increases the risk of COVID-19 transmission because these activities increase the release of respiratory droplets and fine aerosols. Because of this,
singing, chanting,
and shouting are strongly discouraged, but if they occur, the following rules are recommended. I haven't got there yet.
Well, no, wait a minute. Oh, chanting. Or are these like Wiccan households?
I don't know.
New Age.
Oh, like football, chanting. So if you're having a football, you know, it's Thanksgiving, so the football's on, you know.
Go, team, go.
Yeah, I guess you could chant something.
Go, team, go. I don't know. And hey, you know, Charlie, you bring up a good point. With football, you're going to yell when there's football on.
Yeah, but you can't do that because you would have to make sure that you're strongly encouraged to maintain that physical distancing beyond the 6 feet to reduce risk if you're going to chant or sing. So you better have a big TV room to watch football in. Or do it outdoors.
Why don't the voters respond in anger to Democrats wanting to make their holidays miserable?
To Democrats wanting to ruin your life?
Yeah. I mean, this is a miserable... The very fact that we have people in government thinking that this would be an acceptable way to celebrate the holidays, right there, they should be run out of town on a rail.
Agreed. This is just lunacy, folks. If you're somebody on the left and you think this is okay, you're a knucklehead. You really are. You're a knucklehead. If you've bought into this crap, you're as dumb as a rock.
You got to be crazy. I mean, you got to be weird. You got to be absolutely weird.
If these are the rules for Thanksgiving, count me out. I'm not doing Thanksgiving.
No. Are you going to smoke a turkey this year, by the way?
I'm not going to be in town for Thanksgiving, so probably not this year.
Will you be distanced?
A great question. I don't know. I'm not going to be in the country, so probably not.
Good for you.
Going to go enjoy myself over Thanksgiving and have a good time.
Go somewhere without lockdowns.
Yeah, where I don't have to wear a dang mask everywhere I go.
Exactly.
I mean, this whole thing, to my point just a second ago, it makes you not even want to be around.
But doesn't this,
right?
But doesn't this describe what Joe Biden was saying? It's a dark winter.
Oh,
ahead.
It's a dark winter.
It's a dark winter.
We need
winter.
To learn how to die with COVID, not live with it, by the way.
Well, he's saying we're learning how to die, not how to live with COVID, which is one of the stupidest statements I've ever heard.
Thank you.
I mean, that was so dumb. He should have lost the election right there.
He should have. When people heard that, they should have said, well, I don't want to die, Joe. He's writing your death sentence, folks. It's Joe Biden. He's writing your death sentence. Right there, he said it.
If we give Biden, and let's face it, his wacko leftist underlings, who are really going to be pulling the strings with him. His wife, too. If we give them the keys to the car, this, what we're reading right now, is how we're going to live our lives.
Oh, and in fact, Andy, I will go one step further. This is probably the light version. Follow me?
Yes.
This is Joe Biden light. This is not what he really would want us to do. He would probably say if you can't do Thanksgiving alone, you know, by yourself with your own immediate family, don't do it. He wouldn't have the three rule, three family rule. He'd just say don't do it.
Right.
Well, by the way, Governor Polis, he would say the same things because don't forget, he already called us, you know, wear your damn mask, you selfish bastard. That's basically what he told us.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Right? That's what Polis said.
I know.
I'm just repeating what he said.
I know. There is no love in their hearts. They don't care.
They don't care.
They're drunk on power.
That's right.
And it's like, look, folks, if any of what you were doing was working, we'd understand. None of
but
it's working.
But it's not.
It's making the numbers, those terrible things, you know, are showing it's making absolutely no difference. That's more right. Restrictions, more masks, it expands the same
way. Doesn't matter. That's exactly right. Purify Chevrolet folks coming up next. They want to help you out with all of your vehicle needs. New, used, they've got you covered either way. I say that all the time, but I do mean it. And it is like going back in time to buy a car. And I know that not everybody goes out and buys a car, you know, every single day. But a lot of you will buy cars. As we head into the winter months, there are things that you need. Things happen. Accidents happen. You need a car because of whatever. It's the place to go. Since 1960, 303-659-8311. That's purefoychevrolet.com.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. You know, being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
All right, talk to Al Smith. He is our financial advisor and will advise you on how to get to retirement, stay in retirement, and then the purpose of retirement itself for you. How does that work with you? Give Al a call today, 303-744-1128, or go to klzradio.com.
In order to make informed decisions about your financial planning, you need to find your purpose in retirement. As a chartered financial consultant and the founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith isn't a life coach. But he does believe that your finances should fulfill a purpose. Too many people focus exclusively on accumulating more wealth without considering how they want to spend their time. One of Al's clients rebuilds churches damaged by hurricanes in Texas and Florida. Another client drives veterans to their doctor's appointments. One retired lady hunts black bears with a bow and arrow. Another gentleman creates beautiful wooden bowls. How you plan to spend your time should determine how you invest your money. That's the difference between wealth accumulation and retirement planning. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial today at klzradio.com/money. Find your purpose in retirement. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Joe in Castle Rock, you are next. What's up, sir?
Not in Castle Rock anymore, John. You've convinced me to get the hell out of the state.
Now you're leaving. You're gone.
I'm calling you Jersey Joe.
No, it's Joyzy Joe.
Joyzy Joe.
Joyzy
Joe. Joyzy Joe. Yeah. How's it going, Joyzy Joe?
Well, I just passed Kiowa on my way to Lyman trying to get to Goodland tonight. But you've convinced me this is no longer a place anybody in their right mind would want to live. So, and by the way, and for the next hour, you have a new listener. My daughter's behind me driving my wife's car.
Nice.
My wife didn't want to drive.
Nice. So for the next hello, Joe's daughter.
Hi, Joe. What's her name?
Susan.
What?
Susan.
Susan, hello. Hello from Rush to Reason.
Yes, thank you.
Yep. So, we're heading out.
By the way, can I thank Susan for not letting Joe drive?
Joe's driving.
Oh, is Joe, are you driving
Susan's
or is Susan driving?
Joe. No, they both are driving.
So she's just in the car with you?
No, behind in the second car.
In the second car?
Yeah, behind Joe.
So it's a caravan?
Yes, they're traveling east.
It's like a Trump caravan.
Going far east.
Yeah.
There you go.
By the way, I'm out here in Kiowa. There's nothing but Trump Pence signs all over the side of the road.
That's awesome.
Here. Not a single Biden sign to be seen. But, Charlie said, how come you didn't send any emails this morning while my computer was in a moving box this morning?
Yeah, that would be the reason then.
How far are you going to make it today, Joe?
We're trying to get to Goodland. We both been up early. My daughter had to get up at 3 a.m. Colorado time to catch a plane to get here from Pennsylvania. So she's had a long day. So we're just going to try to make Goodland tonight and then get a fresh start in the morning.
Okay.
So.
You'll make it. Goodland's easy. You'll make that piece of cake.
Yeah. By the way, I'm just coming up on a stretch here with... No, actually, no. I thought they were more Trump signs, but they aren't. But but not a single Biden sign the entire way.
Wow.
So
it's beautiful territory out there.
Yeah. Now, too bad I won't be able to get reception if once I get past the Kansas border, I'm guessing.
You'll get it about to Goodland.
About to Goodland.
Yep.
All right, and maybe tomorrow I can listen on my iPad.
There you go.
Cellular service. Yeah, I'll listen on my iPad tomorrow about the same time. So, but no more emails for the next 3 days, guys. So.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Hey, well, Joe, how are you going to handle being in Jersey? I mean, talk about lockdown city.
You know, we're way out west. We're only about 10 miles from the Pennsylvania border. So it's pretty much, you know, there's still farm country out there. And so it's not like we're living in the heart of Jersey. But, man, talk about I'm going to pay twice the taxes on a house that has a third of the value.
Wow.
Talk about insane. Insane taxes. Can you imagine $18,000 a year taxes on a four-bedroom house?
Unreal. That's what the left does for you there, Joe.
Yep, and they want to tax tap water now. Oh, an 8% sales tax.
8% on tap water?
No. They want to add tap water, though, as a taxable commodity. But
gotcha.
Just the normal sales tax is 8%.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying they want to go the full 8% on tap water. That's horrifying.
Hey, but by the way, real quick, for everybody listening, Joe, this doesn't apply to you so much, but you know, you'll enjoy this. There's a group of individuals outside of the Chick-fil-A, so it's not at Chick-fil-A, but outside Chick-fil-A at 144th, wherever that is, they're on 144th, taking signatures. I'm thinking about close to I-25, taking signatures for the recall POLUS effort if you want to drop by and sign that. Just got a notification of that. So there you go.
I'm tempted to turn around and sign it before I leave.
Yes. Yeah, swing by, would you?
Good one, Joe. Good one. Joe, enjoy your trip. Susan, thank you for listening. You guys really be safe and, you know, keep checking in, Joe.
Will do. I'll try to give you a call tomorrow.
Sounds great. Really appreciate you guys. Right, guys. Be safe. And one of our faithful listeners, and Joe, thank you. And he'll get folks in New Jersey listening to us. Jersey. Yeah. There, you say it better than I do. I've never been from that part of the world, so.
You ever been up that way?
Once.
You know, New Jersey is surprisingly beautiful out in the countryside where he's talking about.
I'll take your word for it.
I mean, every time you hear about New Jersey, you hear about, you know, mob violence or something.
Thanks, Andy.
Corleone.
Thanks, Andy. Okay. Enchanted Kitchens, folks, coming up next. And, boy, in case you need to social distance inside of your own kitchen, you might have to redo it.
Yeah, you got to make it three times larger.
Yeah, you really need to expand that bad boy.
Well, who could help me do this?
Enchanted Kitchens can definitely do that for you. Seriously, folks, they can actually design the kitchen, show you what it's going to look like from the inside out, position you inside of that kitchen, and show you in a 3D way how that will look and how it will function. So go to Enchanted Kitchens, find them at klzradio.com, 303-376-7588.
You need to stand in your new kitchen to know what works. You have some ideas based on pictures you found online, but you've never actually seen, touched, or felt the counters and cabinets that will become part of your daily life. The Enchanted Kitchens design team built their experience center with you in mind, so you could feel at home, only better, giving you the chance to visualize your new kitchen ahead of time. I'm Marie Christine with Crawford Broadcasting, and I'm over 5'10". I spend a lot of time bending over my countertops at home. The first time I visited the award-winning showroom at Enchanted Kitchens, I stood next to a countertop that reached my waist. Suddenly, I could imagine standing up straight to cook. As a Rush to Reason listener, the design team at Enchanted Kitchens will meet with you for free in their Experience Center to help you solidify your vision of a kitchen design that works. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for listening, folks. Got a minute or so left of this second hour. Back for another full hour. John Zemirik will join us at the top of the hour, give us his latest article from stream.org. We'll talk about masks and why the left loves them so much. And from Andy. You want to talk about this 25% capacity that the certain areas of the state want to limit their restaurants to, which, by the way, is a death nail.
It is.
Just go ahead and pound that in the coffin and call it good.
Yeah, I want to go into that because, right? Oh my goodness, what a thing to do right now.
Some of them are just now starting to rebound, and you're going to now shut them back down and just go ahead and just, you know, nail that thing shut. Call it good.
Yep.
Seal it up.
Yep. Denver's already done it. Some other places are doing it. Oh my goodness.
And just as a side note, have you been out to eat at all, by the way?
Yeah, but I go out less, John. It's just not as fun.
I do too. Yeah, it's not as fun. And I will say this. When I do, though, do you get the feeling from all of the people in the restaurant itself that they're just sick and tired of messing with all this?
Mostly, yeah, I get that feeling. Although some of them, you can tell, they're control freaks. They're into it.
Yeah, I've not. Maybe it's just been where I've been. I haven't felt that much. And most of the cases where I've been, it's almost like, okay, we're doing this because we have to, but we don't want to. We hate this. We hate it as much as you do.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of that, too.
So I've kind of seen, you know, both. Did I tell you real quick? I only have like 40 seconds left. Did I tell you my mall experience? Maybe I should share that when I come back. I talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I went to the mall last weekend. Haven't been to the mall.
Sorry.
I know. I haven't been to the mall. I went this last weekend, Saturday, and I haven't been to the mall literally since before COVID, probably since last Christmas. So it's almost been a year of not going to the mall. Didn't miss it, but I want to share a few things that I actually noticed when I was at the mall.
Okay.
Because it goes along with what you and I talk about on a fairly routine basis. We'll talk about that after we do John Zmierich, interview him as we come up here next. One other thing I want to talk about next hour or two, if we get time, no guarantees. If not, I'll get to it a little bit later in the week, but that's prescription drugs and the ruling, or not the ruling, but the agreement that was made between Purdue Pharma and their guilty plea and what that actually means for them. And I have a different take on opioids and prescription drugs probably than most have. So we'll talk about some of that when we come back as well. So don't go anywhere. Hour 3 is next. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.